With Election Day in less than 2 months, what is on the line is not a simple difference of policies, it is the fate of our nation. Judicial activists at all levels have put roadblocks in the way of justice. The 34-time convicted felon will not see a prison cell before Election Day. MAGA activists at state and local levels are working to disenfranchise voters, and foreign governments are paying conservative bloggers to spread their propaganda. On Liberal Dan Radio, we cut through the lies, unwind the spin, and give facts to counter their fiction. Will you do what needs to be done to make sure our nation isn't taken over by an autocratic despot? Or will you sit back and watch as our nation falls to ruin? The clock is ticking. Act now, before it's too late. Liberaldanradio.com or twitch.tv/liberaldanradio. If you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, just join us over in the chat rooms over there. It's much easier that way. We'll be live as long as we can be. The eyewall, apparently whatever's left of the eyewall of Hurricane Francine has hit Jefferson Parish, which is one parish over or county over for most normal folks in the country. As of right now, we've had a small flicker, but it's currently good. Knock on wood. Not going to talk about that much anymore. We got Mad Mac, Tripper John, Jolie, Aaron, Nick, Jeff. Glad to see y'all. Really glad to see y'all. Really glad to be able to have this right now. If you want to support the show, please remember to like the video, subscribe to the channel if you're not already done so. You could also comment, like, and just get the algorithms up for the Liberal Dan Radio videos that are posted as soon as I can get to them. We also have memberships over here on YouTube and subscriptions on Twitch. If you have Amazon Prime, you can subscribe for free over on Twitch. Otherwise, you can also buy bits, stickers, super chats at the respective places. You could also go to Venmo Liberal Dan if you want to support the show one time, or also buymeacoffee.com/liberaldanradio. You could also get to the Buy Me a Coffee site by going to liberaldan.com and click the Buy Me a Cider button, because I much prefer hard cider over coffee. I'm not a big coffee drinker. Anyway, hey, Roxanne, Janelle, Big Hook, good to see you all. CR, good to see you as well. Thank you all for joining. Some things to talk about today. I don't know how long of a show I'm going to be, because, I might want to enjoy the whatever it is. I don't want to jinx it, but anyway, it is what it is. But what we're going to talk about, the things we want to talk about, is for as long as we can, I guess. one thing that was, I don't know if I should talk about this first or last. Maybe we'll talk about it first and then kind of bury the lead, I guess, a little bit. But we're talking about COVID versus September 11th, a little bit on the show, because today is the anniversary of the September 11th attacks, and I haven't seen too much on the TV about it. Normally, MSNBC will, show, what happened, its footage that day, but between the election coverage and the hurricane coverage, it's probably hard to shoehorn that in there, especially on a weekday. They want to sell advertising. Not, I guess, rehash that. But COVID-19, New Orleans is very progressive. We are probably the bluest area in the state of Louisiana. I mean, without New Orleans, there's some Baton Rouge, some as well, some Democrats are there. There's a smattering of Democrats across the state, but New Orleans is clearly a big chunk of the left thought here. But right next door, we have Jefferson Parish, which tends to be more conservative There's only, you know, one council seat on the Jefferson Parish Council that is held by Democrat. Everything else is Republicans. And one of the actually people on the Jefferson Parish Council, if you've seen the Who All Seen a Leprechaun Say Yeah video with the, I think it was in Alabama, I guess Crichton Community or whatever, where they were talking about that somebody wanted to uproot a tree and find the gold. The guy newscaster from sitting behind the desk from that video is currently a Jefferson Parish councilman. You know, surprising. He moved to the news over here, and then he started to be involved in politics. So there you go. And he is on the Jefferson Parish City Council. Anyway, the Jefferson Parish government, in the middle of this these tropical storm / hurricane conditions that we're having, has been they've been telling us that, or at least if you live in that parish, to not use your dishwasher, not use wash your clothes, not use your water excessively, because they are having some issues with drainage. And the people running their dishwashers and running their laundry, I guess trying to get it done all before the power goes out, they're all trying to do that. And it's overloading the drainage system. It's causing drainage to, I guess, back up into homes. People can't flush their toilets, et cetera. And, you know, it's good in theory, I suppose, that you have people, you're expecting people to do the right thing for their fellow man. But the first thing I thought of when they said that is there's no way in hell that these conservatives who live over in Metairie, who live over in Kenner, I used to live in Kenner, it's a very conservative city. There's no way that these people are going to say, oh, okay, I won't run my dishwasher. Oh, okay, I won't run, do my laundry right now. I'll wait. There's no crap. There's no sound, huh? Did Thomas do that? Hold on. There we go. Now you can probably hear me. Lovely. Thank you for the big explosions there, Jolie. Let's just go ahead and start the show over, shall we? We'll play the show intro again, and then we'll go over from there. And then I can always edit out the video if need be. All right, so here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
With Election Day in less than 2 months, what is on the line is not a simple difference of policies, it is the fate of our nation. Judicial activists at all levels have put roadblocks in the way of justice. The 34-time convicted felon will not see a prison cell before Election Day. MAGA activists at state and local levels are working to disenfranchise voters, and foreign governments are paying conservative bloggers to spread their propaganda. On Liberal Dane Radio, we cut through the lies, unwind the spin, and give facts to counter their fiction. Will you do what needs to be done to make sure our nation isn't taken over by an autocratic despot? Or will you sit back and watch as our nation falls to ruin? The clock is ticking. Act now, before it's too late.
To join the conversation, it's area code 914-803-4131, 914-803-4131. If you're just leave your name in the chat to let us know you're calling in on YouTube or on Twitch, not on Blog Talk Radio. We don't monitor that Twitch. And now, why is that happening? I have a stupid ad running on my that just randomly popped up. Stupid ad, just random. I'm just not having great tech technical issues today as well. My volume on the output was set to 18% the audio was sending to you. That's why the intro sounded so low. My microphone was actually unplugged from the entire thing. Anyway, now we have random commercials playing on browser windows, screwing up with the whatever. So I turned off the audio a second so I can get that shut. Yes, hello to everybody. Hello. Go all the way back. You got Roxanne, Aaron, Mad Mac, Trucker John, Jolie, Big Hook, Jeff, Roxanne, CR. Coming back through everybody else just to see. There's a whole bunch of we can't hear you. I guess I have to look glance over more over to the chat as it is. What's up, Say Hi? Good to see you. So going on, Josh. Yes, everybody should say hi. Dan had to regroup. It's, you know, it's been a long day. I had to get a lot of stuff done on work-related wise because I wanted to make sure I got everything done for the people who needed it before I wasn't able to do it anymore. So, of course, there's always the risk that I could lose whatever, knock on wood, that doesn't happen, but there's always the risk that this could end abruptly simply because, you know, we are fortunate enough to still have everything. I don't think it'll be too abrupt. I think everything is hooked up to the UPC, so I could actually probably shut it down before it gets too long, but we'll see. Hopefully I don't have to even deal with that. I don't know how long the show is going to be, we'll cover the topics I want to cover. If there's anything else that wants to be talked about in the chat, we'll cover that too. That being said, you know, I do want to, you know, have a good show, and it might be a quicker show than normal. Let's just put it that way. Adlo, no, you don't have to agree with everybody. You just don't have, you just don't be toxic. And don't, if you happen to be the same person who is also Josh, or was it Joe? I don't know. Not Josh, it was Joe. Don't threaten that you're going to report the show either, because, you know, we don't need that around neither. Anyway, that being said, you're welcome to share your opinions and your views, Adlo. Just don't be toxic about it. That's all I ask. Anyway, so here we go. So the first thing I want to talk about is relating to Hurricane Francine. It's in the city of New Orleans. It's very blue, very Democratic city. There's no Republicans in government at all. I thought Katrina might be the opportunity for Republicans to snatch some seats away because there was one seat, but no, the entire council went blue. The mayor is always going to be a Democrat. There are Republicans who have tried to run and they've failed miserably. They've tried to kick out mayors via failed recall attempts, you know, whatever. But New Orleans, very blue. And I've kind of described the area around New Orleans as, you know, varying degrees of how far you get away from New Orleans will depend on how likely it is you're going to encounter a racist and how racist that person is likely to be. Example. So, like, you have the 17th Street Canal, which broke during Katrina. On the other side of the 17th Street Canal is Metairie, which is part of Jefferson Parish. If you live in, like, you know, that area of Metairie, you might be a little, maybe. But as you go more west in the parish, you're more likely to get, you know, more and more racist. When you get to the city of Kenner, where it's a very conservative-run city, but there's a strong segment of Kenner. One of the councilmatic districts in Kenner is liberal. I mean, there's a large black population there, and so you usually have one Democrat on the council and four from the regular districts and two at large. So if you live in Kenner and you live in the north part of Kenner, which is the more white part of Kenner, if somebody asks, oh, you live in Kenner, they'll be more likely to tell you, oh, we live in North Kenner, because they want you to know that they don't live in the other part of Kenner. Again, racism. Then, of course, you have the north shore of Lake Pontchartrain. Lake Pontchartrain sits above Orleans and Jefferson, and you have St. Tammany Parish right above it. Crossing the Lake Pontchartrain is what used to be the longest bridge in the world, period. Now it's the longest bridge in the world over a single body of water. So there are people who left New Orleans and ran up to the North Shore. They're so racist that they had to cross the longest bridge in the world to get away from black people. So there's that. Hey, Big Hook, I see that you're calling. So in Jefferson Parish, Jefferson Parish is not the uber conservative racist types, but there are plenty there. You're more likely to hit them as you get to the North Shore. I remember I was campaigning for somebody else on the North Shore in 2006. When they asked what the candidate was, Democrat or Republican, I'd say Democrat. They said they would never vote for a Democrat because Democrats are a bunch of N-word lovers, and said it out loud without a hood on and everything like that. It gives you an idea. Anyway, so Jefferson Parish. It was announced during this hurricane, you know, tropical storm conditions that we're dealing with because of Francine. It was announced that there were issues going on, first in Kenner specifically, and then in Jefferson Parish as a whole, where there was drainage issues, where the drainage was getting inundated from not just all the rainwater, but from people who were trying, I guess, get their last-minute laundry done and get their last-minute clothes, you know, their dishes washed or whatever. People using the water when they didn't necessarily have to. And so the government officials in Kenner first and then in all of Jefferson Parish were like, look, hey, could you please consider the fact that people might not be able to use their toilets or flush their toilets or whatever because our drainage system is getting inundated with water. So please don't do laundry. Please don't do your dishes. And the first thought in my head that came about when it came to the first thought in my head when they said that was these people wouldn't mask up to protect the lives of their neighbors. These people wouldn't socially distance to protect the lives of their neighbors and loved ones. These people are more likely than the people in Orleans, at least, are less likely to get the vaccine. They don't care about other people when it comes to them dying from COVID. You think they're going to not turn on their laundry? You think they're not going to turn on their dishwasher and do their dishes? Don't hold your breath. I'm sure the system in Jefferson Parish is going to be extremely inundated from all of the people who are probably now specifically turning on their dishwashers and doing their laundry just to spite the government officials who might dare tell them that they can't. You can't tell me to not do my laundry. I'm going to do my laundry and I'm going to like it. So, yeah. So I have no faith that these people in Jefferson Parish, well, again, one county over, because we have parishes in Louisiana, not counties, but I have no faith at all that these people are going to listen to their public officials and are going to stop doing their laundry and stop doing the dishes because they're a bunch of entitled asshats, and that's why we had the problem that we were in because of COVID-19. I'll get to that more in a second, but we do have Big Hook on the line, so let's pull up Big Hook and see what he has to say. How are you today, friend?
Hanging in there. That was quite the performance last night with Kamala. The one thing that gets me, though, like you were just saying with the masks, what's his name, Eric Adams there from New York City there, he apparently was trying to ban masks, and karma struck. He caught COVID. I mean, can you – that just seems perfect, you know? Oh, the threat
unfortunately, with COVID, it didn't work that way too much. Like, people didn't get – it was people making other people sick, and that was the problem. But, you know, it's always nice to see karma work effectively.
Yeah. The funny thing I see, like, it's like they said before, the sane washing of Donald Trump is just absolutely, you know, despicable. I mean, at some point in time, you know, you have to face the truth, and you can't just rely on lies for so long. I mean, everybody with a brain could see that he was basically, you know, beaten to a pulp, and that, you know, I don't think he actually answered even one question that the moderators asked him. He just went off on his crazy tangents. And
I mean, he pivoted enough so much to the things he wanted to talk about that it was hard to remember any example of him actually answering these questions that were asked of him. And even when he tried, even when he attempted to answer a question that it was asked of him, he did it wrong. For example, when he was talking about, he was asked a question about Israel and the issues between Israel and Hamas, and the and he responded about Ukraine. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, we were watching that live last night in the live reaction, and it was, we were just baffled that, you know, I was just absolutely like, you know, they used to call Joe Sleepy Joe. They used to say that he had, you know, Alzheimer's and this, that, the other, when it was basically a stutter. Well, maybe a little bit of old age, but it was basically a stutter with a lot of his issues. And they wrongly pick on him for the whole killed Medicare thing because, shocking, Joe Biden actually followed the rules of the debate. And when they told him to stop talking, he stopped talking. So whatever. But, I mean, every Republican accusation is a confession, and everything they've said about Joe Biden is clearly true about Trump tenfold.
Yeah, and Randy Rhodes caught him. Apparently, he let it slip there that he was in communication with Putin after losing the office. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, he admitted that. He admitted to having worked to help shut down Nord Stream 2 or whatever. Wasn't that blown up? Wasn't that attack? Wasn't that hit by bombs? Like, or whatever, was there explosions by Nord Stream 2 that, so are you saying that he helped do that? I don't think so.
Yeah, no, I mean, let's face it. I mean, Trump is basically, how can you tell when Trump's lying is basically as soon as his lips start moving. I mean, he couldn't tell the truth if his life depended upon it, you know? And I mean, that's the thing. Unfortunately, he puts his lifestyle above everyone else's welfare.
During COVID-19, he admitted to downplaying the threat to Woodward. He admitted to saying to Wood, he said to Woodward, it was COVID was much worse than the flu, but to us, he said it was just the flu. He wanted to slow down testing and stop testing because if you have more testing, you have more cases, which is A, stupid, and B, puts everyone at risk because if you don't know the infection rates, you can't track it, you can't deal with it, you're just burying your head in the sand and hoping for the best. And as Trump says, it is what it is because, you know, he did not take it seriously and he put the lives of many, many more people needlessly at risk. I mean, the death toll of COVID-19 in the United States was 1,200,000 and change. Like, would many of those people wouldn't have had to have died had Donald Trump taken his responsibilities as president seriously during the pandemic. But he didn't. He was more concerned about optics and how he looked versus how anybody else's lives. And just like he says with, you know, he's, again, he literally said when asked about the death toll, he literally said,
"It is what it is."
And then,
yeah,
you know, when asked about, you know, the shootings, we have to get over it. You know, he doesn't care about death. He doesn't care about who dies to be able to get, you know, in order to take power. Adlo him in the chat, COVID is not Trump's fault. No, the existence of COVID-19 is not Trump's fault. The fact that COVID-19 was as bad as in the United States as it was and it shouldn't have been, that's Trump's fault. Trump's failure or his failures as president and his unwillingness to actually take the pandemic seriously is totally Trump's fault. I mean,
well, that's the
buck
thing.
Stops
he doesn't
there, right?
Accept responsibility for anything.
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, but what gets me is that how can these people still vote for him? It's, you know, after last night with the Haitians are eating your pets remark, which, you know, I mean, is pretty much a qualifier for batshit crazy. Call the cops. We have a madman in our midst. He needs to be committed and put on a 48-hour psychiatric hold. I mean, where do you go with that? I mean, these people, and the other thing was they kept asking people, oh, well, what, who did you think won the debate? And some people actually went, oh, I think Trump did. And it's like, are you out of your mind?
The thing with Trump is that, you know, his supporters, the MAGA base, hate who he hates. So it doesn't matter to them if he lies. It doesn't matter to them. They can be conservative Christians, and they don't care that he, or Christians in quotes, they don't care that he's wrong. They don't care that he lies. All they care is that he's going to get retribution against his political rivals and that he's going to do mass deportation and make America white again, because that's what he really means when he says make America great again. Make America white again. Let's see. Somebody said something in the chat I wanted to respond to or want to get it. Brandon Wood says, the split numbers I've seen, Trump had 1,000 more than Biden. However, I've seen such numbers like those, and problem with numbers like those is they start giving Biden, like, they start the clock ticking for deaths as soon as Biden took office. And there are deaths that took place for weeks and months and even still that are still Trump's fault, even though Biden was president, because Biden had to do what Trump didn't, which was make the infrastructure available to be able to distribute the vaccines that were created, because Trump left him with nothing. And so while we were waiting for vaccines to get shipped out and put into people's arms to help them be able to survive the pandemic, guess what? People continued to die, and they continued to die not because of Biden's fault, because Biden was trying his best to fix the problem, and he did preside over his part of COVID much, much better than President Trump did.
Yeah, and then the other thing is that what you don't account for is all the people that died because the hospitals were completely clogged up with people being treated for COVID, you know, because... Yeah.
Right.
There were people who didn't
die of COVID because the hospitals were overwhelmed, because that was the other problem with the people, again, the conservatives who were arguing that they shouldn't be put in lockdowns and they should be able to go to church whenever they want to. They should be able to go to the grocery store whenever they want to and not wear a mask when they're there and not have to avoid the bars and go shoot pool and go to sporting events. All these people don't understand the very simple concept that we have hospital beds in this country. We have a certain amount of hospital beds that are basically they estimate, okay, we need to keep these many hospital beds open because we anticipate that the flu is going to put this many people and heart disease is going to put this many people and accidents are going to cause this many people to go to the hospital. So they want to make sure that you have like enough hospital space to be able to deal with the regular people who are going to the hospital. Plus you want to make sure that you have enough, like extra spaces so that if those estimates are low, that you can be able to handle any overflow either to your specific hospital or to hospitals in the area. And the conservatives who fought social distancing, who fought masking, who fought vaccines, who were not being good citizens, basically, I would say they're no better than domestic terrorists. They didn't care who they put at risk. And by doing so, not only did they cause more people to get infected by the disease, which, you know, had a 2% in 2020, especially, I think the death rate was right around 2%. So, you know, more people were having to die from that. I'm sure the COVID deaths don't include those people who couldn't get to the emergency room or who couldn't get the service for their other issues because the hospitals were so inundated with people. And also people who needed regular procedures that would, you know, prevent them from getting sick, couldn't get those things because those people weren't emergencies as compared to the other people who were coming in with emergencies because of COVID, because they were dying from COVID. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, I don't understand it because it's like they live in an alternate reality. I mean, and it's based on, you know, racism as well as other, you know, just stupid beliefs that, you know, I mean, at this point, I'm sort of hoping that if you guys get the government in the way you want it, and you can manage to get rid of the filibuster and rebalance the Supreme Court, that you guys will rebuild the government so that way it will sufficiently serve the people. Because at this point, this cop-out of, oh, well, nobody likes to pay taxes. And it's like, yeah, nobody likes to wash their hands or wipe their butt when they go to the bathroom either. But we do it. You know, it's time to grow up and face facts. The rest of the world has moved on, and the U.S. is sliding behind on so many issues that it's just absolutely confounding. I mean, your reputation otherwise is only going to be, oh, well, we're the ones with the military force in case the enemies in your backyard come looking for you. You know, I mean, right.
And your pet.
That's not exactly. Yeah, you know, I mean, this is just it, you know. I mean, I don't know. Is it a lack of civics or, you know, I have to say, I mean, there are so many books out now. I mean, Politics Girl has got a book out and everyone's got a book out and, you know, teaching civics and everything else. But how much is taught anymore in the schools these days? I mean, I don't know because I don't live down in the States, but it's, you know, it's frightening how ignorant people are. They don't know how much of anything works anymore, you know, and with the gerrymandering and everything else. I mean, the question is there any way to fix the system that is currently, you know, molded and maintained by the billionaires who don't want to pay their taxes?
Well, I mean, it just takes massive turnout. And unfortunately, the way our system is set up right now, especially with the horrific ways that the Republicans are gerrymandered, I mean, I'm not going to say that the Democrats don't, but the Democratic gerrymandering is child's play compared to what the Republicans have done. And the Republicans have also taken advantage of things like, you know, non-citizens as in the census, allowing them to win districts that they otherwise wouldn't have won because they were able to take, like, I think the guy that shouted "You lie" at President Obama during his discussion on the Affordable Care Act. I think his district was one that where there was only 40% of the district was Republican, but 30% of the district was non-citizen because they drew in all of the people into the district to make sure that the Republicans could have a plurality with less than 50% of the citizenry. Whenever I hear Republicans complaining about the census and how they count people, or whenever I hear Republicans complaining about undocumented migrants, refugees, whatever, coming into their states, I'm like, fine, put them in the blue states. Let those people be counted as part of the census, and then they'll get, when reapportionment happens, the blue states will get more seats, and then we'll permanently kick your butt. But in reality, they know it's not going to happen, and they know that they use people who are here who are non-citizens, who are residents, regardless of their status. They use them to help them bolster their gerrymandering abilities, and it's, you know, they don't give them any say. They make sure they don't get any representation, but they do make sure to use their bodies so that they can keep their artificial hold as the minority party in this country. So,
well. That's the thing that gets me is that all they do is scheme how to cheat the system and how to manipulate the system so that way it doesn't work in any democratic fashion. If you're not representing the people that vote you in, then what's the point? You know, like,
because they're representing the people that fund them. That's the thing. The people that fund all these efforts are the one they're representing. So, and they want to make sure to have.
Yeah, but the thing that gets me is that they.
Well, they also know that the people who will vote for them will not vote for them if they try to win more votes and win hearts and minds by actually changing their opinions based on fact, logic, and reason. like if somebody actually made to them like a logical argument of, oh, well, maybe somebody shouldn't die because of an abortion, or shouldn't die because their pregnancy is doomed and won't go to 9 months, and as such we should allow them to get an abortion. If they actually took that stance and said, you know what, I'm okay with these abortions, then the people who would vote for them would just not vote, because they wouldn't show up for them, because then they want government having total control over people's bodies, especially people who are born women. So.
Yeah, but that's a failure of the education system. You know, the fact that these people can go out there and tell lie upon lie, you know, and not know the realities that, that a pregnancy has risks not only to the child but to the mother, but also to, you know, the reproductive health of the mother later on in life. You know, I mean, they go and they take the simpleton approach of my feelings will be hurt, and it's like, yeah, everybody's feelings get hurt. The fact of the matter is that when that door closes between the patient and the doctor, it's none of your fucking damn business. You don't get a say in what happens from that point on. And, you know, and until they start to bring back the privacy doctrine, where it's like, you know, mind your own damn business, and leave it at that, and say, you know what, you live your life, I'll live mine, and, you know, we only intersect when it's absolutely necessary.
I mean, well, the days of conservatism, of small government conservatives, have long gone away. The only reason they would want government small is so that it can fit right up inside of the uterus. And part of the problem is that yes, we have failures in our education system, don't get me wrong, but we also have large groups of people who are in almost cult-like religious sects who will basically be told that education is not godly. Learning about things is not good. I mean, I had an interaction today with somebody who was insisting, that Donald Trump is going to actually implement something for IVF, and B, was insisting that Minnesota allows for the termination of the lives of born infants. And when I went to show, I mean, and the site that the person used that I was having a discussion with today was some, like, Minnesota Right to Life type website, but it wasn't built very well. But they made their arguments, so I went and looked up the legislation itself, copied and pasted the picture of, like, where the text that were, you know, it didn't make it illegal, it still kept it the law that you have to, if you have an infant that's born, you have to try and save the infant's life. It's there in the legislation, even though the pro-life people are trying to lie and say that it's not. All basically says, well, I don't have the time. I work a full-time job. I don't have the time to learn about this stuff. And I'm like, well, if you don't have the time to learn about this stuff, then why are you debating it? Why are you making it an issue of policy? You know, if these people don't understand, but these people don't care. They don't care that they don't care that about learning stuff. Learning is, like, to them even seen as a sin, because if you're learning anything that contradicts their biblical teachings, well, then it has to be wrong. So
yeah, but religious zealotry should be an automatic disqualifier for holding public office, because, you know, you can't say, oh, I mean, it's sort of like the George Carlin skit. My God is better than your God, therefore you have to die. You know, I mean, this kind of stupidity. I mean, you practice it in your own home. You live those values within your own confine. But once you get out into regular public society, you have to follow the rules that everyone else has agreed to. You don't get to, you know, a pardon based on that. You know, I mean, so long as whatever it is that you practice doesn't significantly hurt or, you know, offend other people, you know, then yeah, you can do it. I mean, we had that sort of thing there with the Sikhs here, because some of them wanted to wear their ceremonial knives and stuff, and they said, no, you can't do that. That just doesn't work. you know, and they said, you know, you can wear your ceremonial head garb and whatnot, and you can be free to discuss whatever you like, you know, but there has to be a limit to what we will allow. I mean, to me, the thing that doesn't make any sense at all is the open carry stuff that you guys have there. I mean,
well, we got that in Louisiana now. They gave us, everybody it's not even open carry. We have concealed carry without a permit at this point. You know, you could just walk around and you don't have to prove anything, because gun ownership is almost the same thing as religious zealotry. Like, I don't have a problem with people who are faith serving, as long as they're not trying to push their faith on others. Like Raphael Warnock is an example of somebody who's a preacher. He's clearly a religious person. He just doesn't use government to push his faith. That's what his pulpit's for. And so if there were conservatives out there who on their personal time wanted to advocate for a reduction of abortions and to convince people to not have abortions, then more power to you. If you want to do it that way, that's fine. But don't use government to try and force your beliefs onto other people, especially when other religions, again, my God's better than your God, so you should die, as Carlin says. Jewish law basically requires you to get an abortion if the pregnancy is life-threatening. There's no choice in Jewish law, but I'm not trying to advocate for that in American society or any society. If you want to take the risk, that should be your choice, but it should also be your choice to not have to take the risk. So,
well, that's just it. What I don't understand is they all talk about freedom, and then it's like, yeah, but you're not talking about freedom. What you're talking about is forcing other people to do things the way you see fit, and that doesn't work. You know, it's once again, we're back to the mind your own damn business edict.
Yep.
That Waltz put out there. It's like, you know what, you can think what you want to think, but you know, you can't force others to live by that premise. You know, it's, and the same thing, why would they not put a ballot option that says you have to decide whether, and ask the public, are you okay with open carry? Like, that seems like a reasonable thing, because, you know, it's not like, oh, we have to appease the gun nuts. No,
right.
That doesn't work. You have
well,
to,
it's like
you
when
have
Donald,
to,
well, it's like when Donald Trump, let me interrupt
you.
It's like when Donald Trump talked about, you know, how everybody wanted it back to the states. Well, nobody, not everybody, most of the people didn't want it back to the states. Most people wanted Roe v. Wade to be maintained. In many of these states where these laws have been passed, like Texas and Louisiana, it wasn't given to the voters. It wasn't given to the people of the states. It was given to the legislators. Legislature decided to say, hey, we're going to make this the law of our state. Oh, well, knowing full well that they're not going to lose because they've gerrymandered their seats, and because people, even though if they disagree with this law, they're not going to say, well, we're going to vote you out. So, but which is why you've seen what in states that have gone and protected abortion rights afterwards, like Kansas and Ohio, two states that I was shook that, especially on Kansas, but you had people come out, and when you actually give it to the people want the choice, but many of these states are not giving the people the choice. They're just using their legislative authority to do it that way instead of putting it to a vote of the people. This is not to say that I think that abortion should be up to a vote of the people. We should not be voting on rights, period. You should not be.
Well,
should not
in Missouri,
be that
they
we vote
the same
on.
Thing. Ashcroft apparently was trying to write the thing so that way it was obsequious, and as well as he was trying to write the law so that way, or the ballot initiative, that it would be offensive to certain people and whatnot, because he was trying to go down the same lines as, you can have an abortion at any point in time. Even after the ninth month, you know, he was pulling the Trump line, and the Supreme Court said no, this ain't gonna fly. You're lying. You're, you know, I mean, it's just bullshit. But I feel good that, you know, the truth is finally getting out there and that the majority may get there. But the way I look at it right now, you guys have a long road ahead of you. You got it. It's going to take easily 20 plus years to fix all the stuff that the Republicans have screwed over.
Well,
you know,
I mean, yeah, absolutely. It's going to take a lot of work. Absolutely.
You know. So, but anyway, I just wanted to put in my 2 cents. I know it's not worth a whole lot. Canadian even, so what can you do?
Put in your toonies, right? Not your 2 cents, but your toonies.
Well, we don't have pennies anymore. We got rid of them.
Well, no, I said toonies.
I'm surprised you guys still have them.
Like the loonies and toonies?
Yeah,
I was saying
$2 coin.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you can put in your toonies.
The $1 coin is they're referred to as loonies, and then the other ones are referred to as toonies. We had at one point, we had $1 bills, $2 bills, and then five and upwards, right? But then they decided to coin it out, and then they decided, well, the penny isn't worth a penny anymore, and then they just basically did the rounding out to anything below a nickel. So that's how they do it here in Canada. But,
thank you for calling. I appreciate you. I mean, I'm mildly encouraged at the fact that, and the only reason that, one of the reasons, I'll get to this in a second, but do you want to make your last point before I let you go?
Not really. I mean, I'm just concerned that these people, are they savable? Because they don't seem to be able to live in the reality of today, you know, and they don't, when you say things that are logical and factual and can be verified, they still refuse to acknowledge that.
I mean, I think it would take a lot of what some might call as deprogramming. I think some of them are just not savable, and I think some of them need massive deprogramming, but unfortunately, you can't have it be deprogramming coming from, like, you know, the government, because they will be like, they'll fight that even harder. You need to find out some way for the people, like, who are within their communities to, like, wise it up and be like, you know what, we were wrong, and this is why all of this was bad for this country, and you have to hope that some of them listen, but I don't have any faith that, I think there's a good 30% of this country that's just lost. And so go ahead.
It's like the other guy said before. He said, we need to have a history taught to people, and we have to look at everything that the U.S. has done, warts and all, and decide what path we're going to take, how we're going to fix all the things from before. And from that point on forward, going with facts and, you know, this alternative reality thing that they keep play is just, you know, I mean, let's face it, it's from the Russian playbook. I mean, that's what
it is.
Well, I mean,
partially Russian playbook, partially German playbook. I mean, we've gone over in the podcast several times about how Donald Trump has literally followed Hitler's playbook to a T. So, but he's also, I mean, anybody who thinks that Donald Trump won't bend over backwards or forwards for Putin if elected again is fooling themselves. I mean, Donald Trump is absolutely Putin's dude, Putin's puppet, Putin's bitch boy, or whatever you want to call it. And the reason why Vladimir Putin would have had to go to war against Ukraine if Trump was still president is because Trump would have given him all the power that Putin wanted without having to shoot a single bullet. He was doing it already. He weakened NATO. He ceded power to Russia and to the Middle East. There's so many ways that Trump enabled Russia to be more powerful under Putin that Putin was like, oh, I don't have to waste a single bullet. I can do this just because Trump is my idiot.
And so. Kamala called it all out perfectly last night. I mean, that was that debate will be in the history books for all time as to this is how you dismantle, you know, a malignant narcissist, because she did it.
Right.
She did it brilliantly. I mean, he basically took off the mask and revealed how crazy he was, you know, and you know, that's the first step, is to see the problem for what it is. And that was a great thing. Anyway,
of course, the
mindless, thank you so much.
The mindless sheep are just, oh, you're welcome. You're very welcome. You're always welcome to call in. Appreciate you calling in, Big Love.
Yeah.
You have a good rest of your night.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, bye-bye. Well, yeah, so that's Big Hug. Again, you can call in 914-803-4131, 914-803-4131. Adlo says, in the AP Dubs, good to see you. Thank you for coming along. Favorite comment from Kamala, Putin would eat you for lunch. Absolutely. Except maybe Trump might eat something else of Putin's. Then again, you know, we're not Liberal Dan After Dark yet, so... As Adlohim talks about how Jewish law is not supportive of abortion, that is completely not true. I went to 8 years of Hebrew day school, more years of Jewish learning afterwards at a Baltimore Hebrew University when I was in high school. That's right. I took extra college courses while I was in high school, and many of them, and several of them, were about Judaism and the Jewish religion. According to Judaism, you can look these words up online. The embryo is mere water. There is no moral difference between losing an embryo and spilling a drop of water onto the ground. The fetus, according to the passage in Exodus, has some value, but it's not the same value as a born person. Two men strife and a pregnant woman is struck, then if she has a miscarriage, then you have to give her a monetary payment. But otherwise, if any damage is done to the woman, to the pregnant person, damage is done at an eye for an eye. So therefore, there is a clear statement from the Torah that the fetus is not the same value as the as a born person. And also, under Jewish law, it is absolutely a requirement for people who are Jewish, if you're pregnant and if the pregnancy is a risk to your health, risk to your life, you are required by Jewish law, i.e. halakha, you are required to get that abortion to save your own life. And why the legal concept, the Jewish legal concept of this is called the rodef, or which is Hebrew for pursuer. Jewish law describes things, you know, when you can protect other people's lives, when you can save your own life, and you can always protect yourself from a rodef or from a pursuer under Jewish law. And the rabbis basically said that the fetus or a pregnancy that is causing you to be harmed and or risk death is no morally different than a rodef, than a pursuer who is trying to kill you. So you're absolutely 100% under Jewish law, not only allowed, but required to get a third trimester abortion if it's a threat to your life. So much so that basically it says if it's not even halfway out the birth canal, you're allowed to slice up the fetus limb by limb to remove it from your body in order to save your own life. Those are little words from Jewish law. So don't go preaching to me about what Jewish law says or doesn't say. I've had tons of education about what it is to be a Jewish person. I might not be the most practicing Jewish person on the planet. Clearly I'm not, but I am educated about the faith in which I was brought up in, and I know that Judaism is everything that I've just said right now is true, and if you're going to say it's false, I'm not going to call you a liar, but I am going to say you need more education on the subject, because I've been educated about the subject. Jewish law prohibits killing in all cases. All cases of what? No. There are clear cases in the Torah where the Hebrews are absolutely instructed to go not just kill every man, woman, and child, but to also disembowel the pregnant women and get their innards from inside of them. So there are, because the Jewish word, or the Hebrew word, I should say, in the Ten Commandments is not thou shalt not kill, it's thou shalt not murder. Killing is clearly allowed in the Torah, in Jewish law. Murder is not allowed, but murder is a legal term, meaning an illegal killing. So there are forms of killing that are allowed and forms of killing that are not allowed. Let's say, for example, if somebody had a gun to my head and with Jewish law, let's say, somebody had a gun to my head and said, eat a ham and cheese sandwich on Yom Kippur, saving my own life would be the most important thing. So I could eat that ham and cheese sandwich on Yom Kippur, despite the fact that it's not kosher and you're not so saving them. If I see you and you are threatening to kill somebody, I can absolutely kill that other person to protect the threatened person's life. I can protect the person who is trying to kill somebody, I can kill that person instead. But what I can't do under Jewish law is if somebody were to say, have a gun to my head and say, I will shoot you unless you kill this other person over here, then that's not allowed. You're not allowed to kill that other person because you're a threat. Now, you can kill this person who's threatening to kill you or who wants you to kill the other person. Again, saving your own life, even via deadly force, is always allowed under Jewish law, period. But Judaism values life. The Toast L'chaim says, like, yeah, Judaism absolutely supports the idea of life and to life, L'chaim, L'chaim, L'chaim to life. You know, that is a song. Songs don't dictate Jewish law, my friend. Songs do not tell us when it is okay to have an abortion and when it's not okay to have an abortion. You have to go to the text, to the legal text, i.e. the Torah, the Tanakh, the Mishnah, the Talmud, the rulings of the rabbis on these issues. That's where you get your information on when killing is okay and when killing's not okay. And abortion, well, it's allowed. Embryo's mere water. Fetus has partial value, but not the same value as a born person. And you can always save your life if the pregnancy is threatening your own, including abort, terminating the pregnancy in the 8th to 9th month. It's always allowed. You're wrong if you're going to try and say any different. Impeccable living. Ham is my least favorite food, but I'm not much of a meat eater. And all the seafood, though. Are you sure you're not much of a meat eater? Anyway, Pam over on Twitch, I didn't forget about you. Pam over on Twitch, when Kamala moved in on Trump to shake his hand, it was the same move attempted to affect Biden. I agree. Yep. Germ warfare in presidential debates, there is no law to which Trump will not sink. Numerous Logan Act violations and an old anti-immigrant urban legend once told about Asian Americans, yes, i.e. that Asian Americans were going to, you know, kill your cats to put them in the Chinese food. Same thing now is trying to be asserted against the Haitians again because Trump is a xenophobic bigot. So, yes, you did, Impeccable Living. You walked right into it. Threw me a softball, and I hit it at the park. Let's see. Yeah, the Genesis 2:7 does nothing. Yeah, breathe into his nostrils the breath of life. That was Adam, right? But according to Judaism, the idea of ensoulment doesn't take place until birth. It's not that it happens at conception. It happens at birth. Also, if you look up the Jewish rules on mourning the loss of a life, of a born person, you are not, if an infant dies within the first month of it being born, you are not required to sit Shiva or to mourn the loss of that child because it wasn't developed enough outside of the womb to be fitting of the requirement to mourn. Doesn't mean you can't mourn it. Doesn't mean you can't mourn the loss of the infant that you gave birth to. However, you're not required to, as you would be required in any other way, to sit Shiva for the loss of a loved one. So, and again, P-Dubs, the only reason that I have the conversations about this is because, A, I don't want people misleading people about my faith that I was raised in, and B, I want people to be educated about the issues. So if Adlo's going to spit falsehoods in my chat, I'm going to go ahead and explain why they're false. Completely wrong. Hello. Exodus completely proves me right and you wrong, but go on. Impeccable Living. I'm waiting for some meat to come over now. Oh my. Anyway, so, but it's already 9 o'clock and we haven't finished. Oh, the rain's really going outside now. Oi. Wow. So if you lose me soon, that's why. Rain's going really hard right now. I wonder where we are in terms of how where the remaining eye wall is. So thank you, Josh. I appreciate you. Let's go to the topic that I wanted to talk about, which was comparing COVID and September 11th, right? COVID-19, or September 11th comes around, and this I actually brought this up on one of my personal Facebook statuses, I want to say 4 years ago, and it still is relevant to this day, because, you know, we don't talk about this enough. We don't talk about what happened in COVID, but yet people want to be like, say 9/11, never forget. Again, I don't want to belittle, begrudge, make light of the people that died as a result of 9/11, the people who died in the planes, the people who died in the buildings, and the people who died afterwards from the health problems caused by the collapse of the towers. That is not my point here at all. So for anybody who wants to jump in and try and say that that's what I'm doing, it's not what I'm doing. I think we should absolutely not forget 9/11. We should absolutely not forget, what happened to this country on that day. And one of the things that happened to this country at 9/12 and beyond was we surprisingly came together as one country to stand in solidarity against the evil that was done to the people who died on that day. Now, that solidarity has gone out the window. It no longer exists, and they've worked absolutely hard to try and break down any solidarity that might have happened. But the point that I'm making here, one of the points that I'm making here about the September 11th attacks and comparing it to COVID, 2,996 deaths on September 11th. The country came together over 2,996 deaths because we felt that it was an attack on, all of us, which it was. But for some reason, we were not able to come together September 11th of 2020. The death toll from COVID, I think just in the United States, was 190,000 plus people dead of COVID-19. That is almost what? Almost not 1,000 more, but maybe like 700 times more or whatever. A good amount of times more people died from COVID-19 than did September 11th. And while not all of those deaths were preventable, a good deal of those deaths were preventable. Some people died from lack of coverage of healthcare, but much of the spread and much of the death has been caused because this president has not taken, did not, or this president at the time, as I wrote on Facebook in 4 years ago, did not take COVID-19 seriously. He did not, again, as I said before, he downplayed the threat to Woodward. He wanted to slow down testing because if you slow down testing, you have less cases. That's a stupid idea. But yet these people, these individuals, like I talked about before we talked to Big Hook, we talked about the people in Metairie and Kenner. The people in Metairie and Kenner who won't do things as simple as, who I don't believe will do anything as simple as stopping their dishwashers and stopping their laundry because it might harm other people and make sewage back up into their houses or make it so their toilets won't flush or will affect the rest of the parish in that, you know, they're not going to be able to drain the floodwaters. I don't believe that these people are going to do that because these people couldn't be bothered to wear masks. These people couldn't be bothered to socially distance. These people wanted to go to Sturgis. one of the first things that I had brought up with my Liberal Dan's Chopper City. If you remember, you know, I have that playlist where I make fake commercials for Liberal Dan Chopper City. Sturgis had 462,000 people in 2020, coming from 61% of all U.S. counties. People came from all over the nation in the middle of a freaking pandemic to celebrate their motorcycles. And if let's say the death toll wasn't 2% or 1.7%, let's say the death toll was simply 1%, or let's say the death toll was 0.5%. Let's be generous here. If 0.5% of people died from COVID, which is an overly conservative number, it's not the true number, 462,000 people from 61% of all counties getting it, and then it turned into a super spreader because you had people who were, you know, infecting tons and tons of people. The estimate cases are the equivalent of 140 per 100,000 attendees. So again, those people could get infected, those people then spread it to other people. What is the response? Like, how much responsibility do we put on people when they take actions that put others at risk? You know, clearly we weren't willing to do that. We were willing to invade the wrong country after 3,000 Americans died, but we won't do whatever it took to stop the spread when, as of September 11, 2020, 4 years ago, it was only 190,000 deaths, and it became 1.2 million deaths, ignoring those other deaths that aren't COVID related, but were related to having hospitals that were backed up and couldn't handle all the patients. So why should I believe anything different? If people are terrorists, for which they are, for smashing planes into buildings and killing people, why aren't people terrorists for not masking, not socially distancing in the middle of a damn pandemic? Can you imagine if Mpox started spreading in this country? Can you imagine if that started spreading like wildfire? Do you think conservatives would listen to anybody and do the right thing? No, they would put more people at risk and more people would die because they're willing to put their personal beliefs over the lives and health of everybody around them. They're willing to kill people for their so-called freedom. And you don't have the freedom. You should never have been considered to have the freedom to go to Sturgis or to go, you know, just anywhere you wanted to go in the middle of a pandemic, simply because of the fact that the right to swing your fist stops well before it hits my face. You can't even swing your fist at my face. That's assault. If you hit me, that's battery. You don't have the right. You might have the right to own a gun. You don't have the right to shoot your gun in the air all willy-nilly because bullets might fall down and hit people and harm them. Same sort of logic should apply here. We should consider all of these people who were willing to do this terrorists, because that's what they were. They were putting other people's lives at risk, and Donald Trump was responsible for it. Donald Trump was absolutely responsible for causing the people in this country, especially his MAGA supporters, to not take this seriously. His refusal to wear the mask behind the Resolute desk. His downplaying the threat to the people while acknowledging the threat to Woodward. His unwillingness to want to do testing because he's afraid of how it would make him look. Because, oh, if you have more testing, you have more cases. Whatever. Stupid. But it's also reckless because he's putting everybody at risk because he's, you know, Adlo had asked earlier in the chat, what could Donald Trump have done as president? First and foremost, he could have focused on testing. Instead of trying to put all of his efforts on trying to get a travel ban, could have focused more on testing. He could have said, hey, guess what? We're going to do robust testing for this virus, and we're going to go down to the community levels, and we're going to test, you know, maybe we'll test the sewage systems, maybe because they can pick up COVID, I guess, in the sewage system as well. We're going to test people randomly, spot checking them. We're going to do robust testing of people in all the communities across this country. So we would find out, A, exactly how much people do have it, and then maybe you would have found out that while it was hitting people hard and it was very brutal, maybe you found out the death toll is a little bit less. And maybe if you would have done robust testing nationwide, while you would have seen the actual numbers of cases that we had, you would also be able to say, okay, well, COVID is surging right now in New York City, so we're going to shut down. We're going to do a two-week shutdown of New York City to try and stop the spread there. No flights in or out, whatever. We're going to, New York City gets shut down, but the rest of the country maybe operates as normal. Oh, okay, now it's happening in Dallas, so now we're going to shut down Dallas. Okay, now it's happening in Butte, wherever Butte is. You test robustly and you test as much as possible. Of course, the first tests that were created were flawed and didn't work. But at first, you don't succeed, try and try again, right? So you get out there, you test people, you do more targeted lockdowns, and maybe you wouldn't have had such a bad impact on the economy. And maybe at some point, you still had to do a full lockdown when it was really, really bad, but you set the example as president, and you wear the mask that everyone is supposed to wear. You tell them it's their patriotic duty to get the vaccine. You tell them it's their patriotic duty to socially distance. You tell them that they could, you know, pray from home this week. Right? You set your job as president should be to set the example for the rest of the people. And the example that Donald Trump set was masks are too, I'm too good for a mask. So his supporters were like, I'm too good for a mask too. So his supporters all became a bunch of little domestic terrorists, putting people at risk with their callous, wanton disregard for human life. And yet they'll call themselves pro-life. They're not pro-life. They don't give a crap when students die in school shootings. They don't give a crap when people die from COVID based on, you know, the fact that it's preventable. They could not make any sacrifices for the good of the American people. I could only imagine, I've said this before during the pandemic, and I'll still say it again, we would have completely lost World War II if these type of people were the people that we had in this country. We absolutely would have lost World War II because these people, the people who lived here in World War II, made sacrifices. They were told, don't do this, don't do that, don't consume this, you can't consume that. We need to use these things for the war effort, so therefore find alternatives for what you want to do or go without until the war is over. And the people, as patriots, said, yes, sir, I will do my duty, sir. Nowadays, no. They couldn't be bothered to do anything to help their fellow man, to help this country succeed. No sacrifice is worth the loss of their own, you know, ability to go shoot pool or whatever. Go to Sturgis. Ride motorcycles. Be little super spreaders. But the same people will vilify an entire religion for 3,000 deaths. And people might look at me weird because I have the gall to look at these people for the over 1 million deaths that they caused. As somebody said correctly in the chat room early on, the United States had 25% of the world cases, but we're 4% of the world's population. There's a reason for that, because we have a bunch of selfish, entitled asshats in this country who only give a crap about themselves and about nobody else. Simple as that. Agoff Twiddler, MAGA wanted us to sacrifice the elderly and people with pre-existing conditions so they would not have to be burdened by wearing a mask. Exactly. And they also didn't understand the purpose of wearing a mask. Like, the purpose of wearing a mask is not to prevent you from being sick, it's to prevent others from being sick. That's part of the problem, is that they couldn't fathom that idea. The idea that they would have to do something to protect other people. Their line is, your health is not my concern. Well, obviously it's not. You're obviously not concerned about anybody's health. You're more than happy to kill old grandma with your unwillingness to be reasonable. See. What else? I see. What did Jonah say? Tell your surgeon no mask next time. Exactly. Yeah, Adlo Him says, no, I won't wear the mask. It was deleted, but whatever. I'll, yeah, you won't wear the mask. So even if there was a disease, I'm sure you won't stay home either, because you're part of the problem. You are part of the problem in this country, where there was a virus going on that was killing 2% of the people that caught it. And you had no problem with those people dying, yet you will argue that you're pro-life because you support abortion, you support the termination, you support the criminalization of abortion. It's hypocrisy. I didn't already have a hypocrite of the week this week. Guess who it might be? But yeah, you cannot sit here and I'm not going to sit here and say that we need to remember the 3,000 deaths from 9/11 and then not also say that we shouldn't be remembering the 1.2 million deaths from COVID. And again, much of those deaths were absolutely preventable. If we would have had somebody in the Oval Office who wasn't an asshat, like Herr Donald is. Let's kind of scroll back through the chickadee chat. I have my two Mpox vaccines. Very cool. How many other injections have you gotten this week, though, Impeccable Living? Sorry. Impeccable Living, I'm sorry about the spamming of the chat. I just go angry when I think about how Trump handled the pandemic. No, you absolutely have every right to say all of that stuff because... guess what? How Trump handled it was irresponsible, and more people should be blaming Trump. You go preach it to the hills. Say it in the chat. Did the blame for deaths for more than a million Americans can be placed on Trump? There are elements that you have to prove in order to hold somebody accountable for involuntary manslaughter. One, that a person acted in a grossly negligent way or failed to act in failure. When product was gross negligence, you also have to be able to prove that their conduct was reasonably likely to involve serious bodily injury or death to another as a product of that gross negligent act or failure to act, and they thereby caused the death of another. Trump's conduct of lying to the American people and downplaying the risk, giving them information they would then use to make their everyday behavioral decisions with, that put them in harm's way. No, absolutely. You're 100% right. That's the thing. You don't have to apologize for telling the truth in my chat room. Not one bit. You preach that truth because that is 100% accurate. 100%, as Marissa Tomei said in My Cousin Vinny, that was dead on balls accurate. Ooh, more gusts of rain hitting my window. Yes, Egal Twiddler, Trump suggests U.S. slow virus testing to avoid bad statistics. Yeah, absolutely. That's what he said in Tulsa. He said it at the Tulsa rally. I told him, stop testing, stop testing. If you have more testing, you have more cases. See, I have had too many MAGA with FDJ6T. I got a warning from YouTube today. Oh, no. I finally took the flashlight out of my ass. Turns out the batteries have been dead for years. Okay. Or I should say, oh my. My view on mask wearing is if it protects people around me from getting COVID, I have no problem wearing a mask. If you refuse to wear a mask, what does that say about you? Exactly, P-dubs. I yelled at people in public. I was that person. I was absolutely that person. If somebody was walking around in public maskless, I was getting my tire repaired somewhere, and somebody, their mask was like here, and I was like, hey, bro, you're... your mask dropped below your mouth there. the person, like the people working there, freaked the frick out. And what was shocking was that these were like minorities. This was a minority-owned business that was trying to support. But I needed to fix my flat tire because I needed to be able to get around. And no, it was a windshield. I had to fix my windshield, and I got a flat tire in their parking lot. That's what happened. And so he and the guy, the owner of the place, is like, you know what? I don't believe any of that. I'm like, you know, you can what you choose to believe or not to believe, whatever. The rules are you have to wear a mask, and I'm not gonna shy away from telling people that their mask dropped down. I even gave him the benefit of the doubt, and I told him, hey man, your mask dropped below your nose. Instead of accusing him of being irresponsible, I just assumed that it slipped and he didn't realize. I was giving the person the benefit of the doubt. But yet, I confronted somebody at the post office for something that I had to mail. And the person was like, I was like, hey, man. And we were having this discussion about the fact that he was not wearing a mask when he should at the post office, mind you. And this is other person behind me was like saying, that's not right what you're doing. I'm like, thank you. And he goes, no, I'm talking to you. I'm like, what? He's like, you don't know if this person has a gun and might shoot people because you're acting that way. I'm like, so you're telling me to be prejudiced against this person? Like, both of the individuals happen to be black. And the person was like, so you're telling me that I should consider another person to be dangerous? Why? Just because of how he looks? That's absurd. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to assume that people are good until they prove to me otherwise. Of course, he wasn't wearing a mask, so of course that automatically made him partially not good. Definitely not good. Grocery stores, whatever. I absolutely, Costco, I had no qualms telling people what my problem was with them. One of the times I was walking around Costco and I was like, dude, man, that's so awesome. Where did you get that invisible mask? I really want to get one. And he had nothing to say about it because he realized that there was nothing he could say. But I was trying the clever route. And then when we evacuated to Georgia because of Hurricane Ida, I tried the other route. And I went up to somebody and I wanted to thank you for wearing a mask because there were people who were being ridiculous. And then the person who I thanked for wearing a mask was, well, we don't really like wearing masks, but my husband has COVID, so we have to. I'm like, wait, you're coming out in public when your husband has COVID? What? I was like, I just gave up at that point. Yeah, P-Dub, sounds like a trap. Come fix our windshield here, and we'll make sure to flatten your tire in our parking lot. I guess so. Yeah, it was. I was not happy. I did report the place for not following the masking guidelines. We'll see. I don't know if they're still open or not. But I also, at the time, I still had very good relationships with a lot of people who are doing rideshare in the area, and I let everybody know about how this place was and that they're, you know, not just were irresponsible with COVID, but they also gave me a flat tire and didn't want to make it right. And yeah, they probably lost a bunch of rideshare business that way. In fact, we're living. Republicans say they are pro-life. They have passed any meaningful pro-life legislation? No. Gun reform to protect children? Nope. Funding to eliminate child hunger? Nope. Funding for child care? Nope. Funding for education? Nope. Laws against child labor? Nope. Laws against adults marrying children under 18? Nope. Yep, they're pro-birth, not pro-death. Absolutely, 100%. So here in Missouri, I had fun wearing masks with Miami Dolphins on it. I wore my Ruth Bader Ginsburg mask a good bunch. I wore a bunch of other things. You know, I had a bunch of different masks that I would wear simply because of the fact that I would want to piss people off. Jan, USA has the greatest wealth inequality in the world has ever seen. 50 trillion transferred from 99% since Reagan, all done by the GQP. More children killed by guns in the USA than anything else. Exactly. Yeah, peed me off when right-wing shills referred to masks as face diapers. Exactly, because, again, they did everything that they could to make it so that people would fight masking. All Donald Trump had to do was put masks on his campaign website and sell Make America Great Again masks and tell everybody to go buy their masks at MAGAMasks.com or whatever. And not only would he have made bank, he would have saved a lot of lives. But Donald Trump doesn't care about lives. Donald Trump doesn't care about anybody other than himself. And if he's going to be inconvenienced by wearing a mask, then he's not going to wear the mask. And that's how a good chunk of his supporters are as well. I do know conservatives who did wear masks and who were responsible and good on them. And I'm not talking about y'all, but I am talking about the vast majority of people who are in the MAGA movement who couldn't give two craps about people's lives around them, but yet they claim to be pro-life. Did anyone see the clip of Stephen Miller going off on how children are being killed by evil migrants after the debate? He named a handful of people who were killed and included the 11-year-old in the what? He was screaming about saving children. I mean, yeah, they have to do anything they can to deflect the fact that Donald Trump lost that debate. I mean, if you go look at Twitter, or we looked at Twitter during the end of the debate when we did the live stream of the debate yesterday, towards the end of it, and I also made a video about it afterwards that I posted and basically said the reason why you know Donald Trump lost this debate is because most of the supporters are out there, you know, trying to make the moderators look like they're at fault. It was the moderators' fault that Trump lost, not Trump. But that's par for the course because the MAGA conservatives will never accept any personal blame for their failures. If they win, it was fair and square. If they lose, it was somebody else's fault. And you can't have that type of mentality in the Oval Office. That type of mentality will destroy this country. And that's why you have Republicans like freaking Dick Cheney coming out and supporting Kamala Harris over MAGA von Schitz's pants, because even Dick Cheney knows that this country is doomed with another 4 years of Donald Trump. His former staff, people that worked for him in government, know that he's no good for government. P-Dubs, where is all the outrage about children being killed in school? It's too soon to talk about that, is what they'll tell us. It's too soon. Too soon to talk about the children deaths. We can't talk about that. We didn't talk about pets being eaten by immigrants, allegedly, and then abortions after 10 months of pregnancy. After the kid's born, there's an abortion. No. The Kate Coxes of the world should always be able to save their own lives. That Kate Cox had to go to a different state to save her own life is a travesty of justice. And it shows just how evil the Republicans are. Because, I mean, Ken Paxton, the Attorney General of the state of Texas, could have said, you know what, this is the type of abortion that we mean to allow in our state legislature with our law that we wrote. So therefore, we are not going to go after Kate Cox or anybody who performs the procedure on Kate Cox because this should fit the exception. And Kate Cox should be able to save her own life. And the pregnancy is doomed already, so there's no reason why we're going to stop Kate Cox from, you know, getting the procedure that she needs done. He could have done that. But no, he decided to fight and say, no, this is not covered under the Texas abortion law, which, you know, clearly isn't, because Texas abortion law requires you to be in immediate death. Like, sepsis has to already have kicked in order for you to be able to get an abortion. And even then, Ken Paxton would probably sue the hospital for performing the procedure and forcing the hospital to spend their own money to defend themselves in that lawsuit, to defend their own doctors, and then hope that the Supreme Court of the state of Texas says, you know what, Ken Pax is wrong. You were right for performing this procedure. That's why places in these states that have laws like these aren't performing the procedures, because they don't want to have to risk their staff going to jail, their people going to prison, losing their licenses, the hospitals losing their licenses, etc. They don't want to lose all that. So, and they don't feel that they can get a fair shake in the Texas court system with this new stupid law. So, Jan Morgan, Trump's no tax on tips plan would have allowed Elon Musk to claim his $50 billion bonus from Tesla. He called a tip and go be called a tip. Is that true? I definitely want to see that. Email me, liberaldanradio@gmail.com, if you have a link to that specific thing and to his specific plan. I don't know if that's I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, I'm more than willing to accept that Donald Trump, Republicans write bad laws, and so I'm sure Donald Trump would find some way to make bonuses to be considered tips and therefore not taxable. And if that's really where he wants to go with it, absolutely, that we should run with that, because that's probably the real reason why he's doing it. Because, again, there's nothing that Donald Trump's going to do that's about the benefit of anybody else. It's all, again, it's as Vice President Harris said, Donald Trump is transactional. He's a transactional person. He's not going to care about anybody says unless it does something for him or strokes his massive ego, which is overinflated. So when Trump loses, his cult will run back behind the wall to their nest. Hopefully they'll run to the other side of the wall from Mexico and just leave the country. But, you know, we can hope to hope perchance to dream or whatever the John Depp, JD is transsectional. Yes, yes, yes. Well played. Well played. I thought it was bisexual. The Ivanka lap dance law. I would like any tip that I give to anybody who gives me a lap dance should be tax-free. Whenever I give them just a tip, it should be tax-free. Yeah, I hope to go to Hungary with Orban. Like that's another thing that's just bonkers. World leaders, Kamala. I mean, this is. I don't know if this is. This probably wasn't the plan because not only did Vice President Harris bring up his rallies to get under his skin, but if the team of the vice president went ahead and brought up that world leaders don't like him. Specifically to get him to bring up how, no, there are world leaders that like me. Viktor Orban likes me. Well, there we go. I just lost power. So I don't know if you're still seeing me stream or not. It looks like we still have internet for a second. So we just lost power. I'm going to get going now. Thank you very much. We'll hopefully be back Monday. So... until then, let's go ahead and play the show end, and hopefully I'll see y'all on the flip side. So let's go ahead and play show end, and then we'll get there in a second. So again, thank you for watching Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from left, that's right. I'll be back next week whenever I get power again. Thank you very much, and have a good rest of your night. Peace.
Let's go!
Let's celebrate.
Uh-huh.